concerts, festivals, and live sports. How big events will have to change to keep the coronavirus spread in check.
You know, some other viruses, some other pathogens spread through the population steadily, but this one seems to be spreading very suddenly and very forcefully when given a chance to sort of get into a super spreading event.
Plus, how the French are changing their age-old greeting. It's Wednesday, May 20th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. U.S. authorities have arrested two people for allegedly helping former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn escape from Japan back in December. Federal prosecutors say Japanese authorities are seeking to extradite former Green Beret Michael Taylor and his son Peter. Ghosn had been charged in Japan with financial crimes and made his escape while under house arrest in Tokyo. Ghosn said he didn't feel he could get a fair trial in Japan. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo responded today to allegations that State Department Inspector General Steve Linnick was fired for investigating him.
Let's be clear. There are claims that this was for retaliation, for some investigation that the Inspector General's office here was engaged in. It's patently false. I have no sense of what investigations were taking place inside the Inspector General's office. Couldn't possibly have retaliated for all the things. I've seen the various stories that someone was walking my dog to sell arms to my dry cleaner. I mean, it's all just crazy.
According to people familiar with the matter, Linnick was looking into Pompeo's use of a political appointee at the department to fetch dry cleaning, walk his dog, and do other personal tasks for him and his wife. Linnick's office had also been investigating the Trump administration's unorthodox $8 billion arms sale to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. Republicans and Democrats have criticized the president's decision to fire Linnick, as well as the administration's use of an emergency provision to force the arms sale, bypassing Congress. Target is the latest retailer to report a boost in sales during the pandemic. The company says comparable sales rose 10.8% in the latest quarter, and digital sales rose 141%. Target says that the surge was initially fueled by online shoppers buying food and essentials, but now it's seeing rising demand for electronics and apparel as more states begin lifting or easing lockdown orders. All 50 U.S. states have now relaxed at least some of the restrictions imposed during the height of the pandemic. Coming up after the break, how big events fueled the spread of the coronavirus and how they'll have to change. Baseball, beaches, live music festivals. Summer is the season for those big, crowded events in a normal year. But as we all know, being very close to a lot of people is also great for the spread of viruses. Now, researchers are looking back at some of what they call super spreader events from earlier this year to understand more about how to stop that from happening in the future. Joining me now is our reporter Bojan Panchevsky from Berlin. So, Bojan, what exactly do experts mean by super spreader events? I think most people would think of maybe large concerts or festivals, but that's not all there are under this category, right?
Correct. So basically the concerts, big sports events, but also private festivities that we wouldn't necessarily instinctively consider as such as weddings, funerals even, big dinner parties, birthday parties, all of these that I just mentioned have served as super spreader events also in the United States. And then you've got also the big issue about hospitals, because when the virus starts spreading unnoticed within a hospital, the hospital becomes a super spreader event because it spreads through the staff across the board, and that's obviously very dangerous. And finally, we have a huge issue with public transport. Some of the experts I interviewed said that the subway trains could turn into super spreading events because sometimes people stay on the train for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour or more. And obviously, we all know that very oftentimes public transport, especially the underground trains, are cramped, they're crowded, they're full of people. And that seems to be a potential liability.
So it makes sense that being around more people may increase the risk of transmitting certain illnesses. What else were researchers able to find out specifically about the spread of the coronavirus at events like these?
Well, it seems the coronavirus doesn't actually spread that easily. We have this famous reproduction number, the R, which sort of is an average number of people that one infected person will pass the virus on. So if I got ill, on average, it is assumed that I would pass the virus on 2.5 up to 3 people. That's the natural speed of this virus that was estimated at the beginning. But now more and more researchers say that actually that is an average because the vast majority of people would not perhaps infect anyone. However, there will be a super spreader event where a huge number of people will get infected and then they will pass on the virus to an even greater number of people. So this seems to be a characteristic of this particular virus. And that means when people speak loudly, so not even shouting, but also kind of loudly speaking, they seem to be shedding more virus if they are infected, obviously. And this has been proven by various studies. So any event, any environment where there is loud speech could potentially turn into a super spreading event. And obviously that's sports activities, parties, you know, everything like that. But also it includes some factories, it includes, you know, everywhere where it's loud, people have to speak louder and therefore unwittingly they share the virus if they're infected. It would appear that the virus has accelerated rapidly because of these super spreading events. You know, some other viruses, some other pathogens spread through the population steadily, but this one seems to be spreading very suddenly and very forcefully when given a chance to sort of get into a super spreading event. And there are a number of those in Europe and America that we mentioned in the piece.
Tell us more about some of those events early on in the spread of the coronavirus that researchers identified as kind of pivotal in the spread here.
Well, for example, in Italy, there was a massive soccer game in the city of Milan, which is believed to have served as a petri dish for spreading the virus. And after that soccer game, literally thousands of people got ill, and that region became one of the worst affected on Earth. Then there was a smaller event in Germany. It was a carnival in the county of Heinsberg in the southwest, where around 400 people participated in this typical carnival celebration in a big beer hall. They were drinking, shouting, talking, singing, kissing each other, as is tradition in that part of Germany. And then weeks after that, over 1,500 people got ill in the area and some of them died. Then you've had a number of soccer games in Great Britain, as well as a big horse race event, which was then sort of examined by researchers who established that in that vicinity where the horse racing happened and where the soccer games took place, mortality and the number of hospitalizations spiked drastically in comparison to other regions nearby. Then in the United States, of course, you've got a number of these events on record. I mean, most recently, I think we've had all these meat processing factories where hundreds of people, if not thousands, got infected across the United States. And that it is assumed that that's because they spend quite a lot of time inside in a place where the temperature is very low, because it has to be low because of the meat, and that is a good atmosphere for the virus to thrive. The virus likes cold temperatures. And of course, because of the machinery, because of the processing, people have to shout.
So, Boyan, as we're seeing places reopening or beginning to reopen, what are the lessons that we can learn here? What do researchers say about how to safely reopen again and hold events, maybe not so large as the ones you've mentioned?
Well, that's obviously the crucial question. And it would appear that all the countries that reopened their economies and their societies after the lockdown in Europe have so far managed to keep the spread of the virus under control. But what they all also have in common is that they have not yet allowed for mass gatherings of people. So some researchers are saying that could be the final proof that this is actually a very, very important measure. So some of these people I spoke to would advise the governments to not actually allow gatherings of people of over 100 persons until there is a vaccine, because they suspect this could bring the virus back into this notorious exponential growth. So the lesson would appear that you can reopen the economy, people can go back to work, shops can be open, factories can be open, but there needs to be great care in areas where people need to come back together in greater numbers. And definitely this doesn't bode well for sports events, concerts, nightclubs, all of these things. Of course, the decision whether to reopen them or not will be political and up to the authorities.
Wall Street Journal reporter Boyan Penchevsky joining me from Berlin. Thank you so much, Boyan.
Thank you.
And finally, if you've ever spent time in France, or even just seen a movie with a character from France, you'll be familiar with a very French way of greeting other people. It's called la bise, and it's the double cheek kiss that's a hallmark of French society. But Wall Street Journal reporter Joshua Robinson says in the age of social distancing, the French are having to kiss la bise goodbye.
France just started deconfining earlier this month, and so people are seeing people for the first time again, and it's awkward. You don't quite know how to greet people, especially the ones you know well. At the moment, la bise seems to be gone, and that's following directions from public health officials who definitely say don't do this, especially with anyone outside your immediate family unit. No clear candidate to replace the bise has emerged yet. The elbow check kind of came and went in the first 2 weeks of the pandemic. One politician suggested the foot check, which is basically kicking each other, and that doesn't work. That was never really going to catch on. And so we spoke to an expert of French social mores, and he was saying that it might be an opportunity to reevaluate how we greet each other in France, because he said la bise had become kind of banal. So maybe this is an opportunity to really look at each other in the eyes, face each other, and express something with body language that, you know, we're open and friendly.
And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.